For those who golf, the best experience depends on many factors, including having healthy, well-managed greens. Coming up, we'll hear the passionate approach of Brian Bonlender, a course superintendent in the Midwest.
Expectations are always high. I think some of that is even our own self, right? I mean, the more you give, the more they expect. And I'm never satisfied. I'm always, you know, I can be told things are absolutely fantastic, and I'm still looking at all the negatives. What do I got to fix? I need to be here. I need to do this. We need to improve conditions there. So for me, it's just never being satisfied. I'm not a sit on my hands guy.
Brian's worked at the same country club for 25 years. We'll find out his keys to success, including his nutritional approach, next. Welcome to Redox Grows, an in-depth look at key issues affecting agriculture and the people that make it all happen. I'm Jim Morris with Redox Bionutrients. We're based in Burley, Idaho, and I'm currently at an industry conference in Arizona, visiting with Brian Bonlender, superintendent of West Bend Country Club in Wisconsin. Thanks for your time, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Some background about your operation. West Bend is a private club. It started nearly 100 years ago. The reviews are fantastic. Tell me a little more about the course and the country club itself, please.
Langford Monroe Golf Course, started by members of the community, built nine holes, depression hit, and from there, 1960, built a back nine, and we've been maintaining that ever since. So, heck of a property in the glacier till of Wisconsin. It's unbelievable, the land movement that we have in that property. Big, large greens. The greens protect the golf course, and that's what makes it a lot of fun. So great place to play. Fantastic membership that supports you and allows you to do the things to provide what you need to get the excellent playing conditions that we provide every day.
What kind of weather and soil conditions do you deal with?
Being Wisconsin and being within 30 miles of Lake Michigan, east winds can keep us really, really cool the entire spring. The joke is keep your winter jacket in your car till the 4th of July, take it out, hang it up, on the 5th, put it back in. It's crazy. We can see everything. Wait 5 minutes, weather changes. We've seen snow in May. We've seen 85 degrees in May. So it really keeps you on your toes. It becomes a big part of what we do and how you manage. I mean, you're trying to create consistent playing conditions day in and day out. So you've kind of got to play the weather and understand what's coming and kind of try to, as best you can, forecast it and be able to make the adjustments to what you need for play. It's a big part of the job, but it's a lot of fun.
Sounds like you're always on your toes. So how important would be turf nutrition in keeping that course as playable as it can be?
That's key. I mean, plant health. I mean, it's kind of the rhetoric of what everybody talks about, but it's true. I mean, the healthier the plant, the easier your job becomes. When you're mowing inside 0.1, 0.10, somewhere there in the middle of summer, depending on conditions, you're trying to keep green speeds up. You need to have a healthy plant. If you don't have to go and hand water on a daily basis or at least minimal hand watering, it sure makes life easier as long as you're producing those conditions. So it's all about health. It's all about trying to keep the best conditions possible on a daily basis. It's consistency.
You work with agronomist Todd Scott of Redox Turf RX, as well as Steve Tatro, president of TIP Incorporated. Your relationship with Redox Nutrition started more than 5 years ago. How important are those relationships and what have you been seeing?
I think the relationships is what makes what this does. I mean, you've got to be able to trust both sides, right? Two great agronomists, both of them have an understanding of what's going on. One local, one from the national. Our soils are different. I've got glacier till. So for me to understand that I can go from clay to sand to rock, and that's just a 4-foot move, and to have the understanding of what it takes to keep those conditions through that, be able to trust Todd and Steve to be able to help me make those decisions, looking at soil tests, just it's collaborating, right? I mean, I've got my thoughts, and I'm always one that puts my programs together, but to be able to bounce ideas off guys that know what they're doing and have that trust, second to none, it's awesome. Big help.
Do you have a few favorites that are kind of stalwarts that really help maintain that good quality that you're seeking?
Yeah, for me, I think it's probably Pennycal for me. Even though I'm glacier tilling, I drain really well, it allows to drive moisture down. So I don't worry about those. When we get those bigger rains that come through, it pushes the water down. I'm not worrying about it soft top. It keeps a nice firm condition. I'm the odd guy probably most. I play with a little bit of everything. So my spray techs call me the chemist. There's never one product in the tank. There's always 10. I'll admit it, there's probably more some days, but I'm trying to always get that balance, right? I want that plant health balance. I need the plant to be healthy so that it can fight off disease. It can withstand our beating. I mean, we give the turf grass a beating every day, mowing and rolling and whatever we're trying to do to keep those conditions as best we can. So to have the Redox line for me, a little over 5 years of it into this. I've seen progressive increases every year in turf conditions. Started this with roots that were 2 inches, inch and a half, you know, just battling year in and year out. I've got 90-year-old poa bent greens. So I'm just battling day to now. My assistant, who's been with me for 35 years, goes, he'll call me on the radio, goes, "Do you see the roots?" As he's changing cups, I'm like, "Yeah, I seen the roots. Pretty cool, huh?" You know, we don't worry about them drying out as much during the day. You know, where years past it was, all right, it's 11 o'clock. We better go check them and get on them. Now it's, let's give them a check before we go home. Might have a hot spot here or there, but as a whole, they hold up so much better. It's been a great transition over the last 5 years, what I use, and I'm still learning. I don't let a day go by where I'm not thinking about what can I tweak, what can I change to kind of make things better. So I get a little mad scientist at times.
But you get the best results that way, and you mentioned some of the crew that you work with. So how has your labor situation changed, or has it, since you've had this improved nutrition?
Labor, I mean, I've been one of the fortunate ones. If there was a big, giant piece of wood next to me, I would knock on it. Labor's been really good for me. Honestly, what it's allowed me to do is do other things. I can get the projects. I can literally do small projects that I want in season now. I'm not worrying about sending two guys with hose reels. Go check them. You know, you got issues, let me know, and then I'm chasing. We're a small budget, mid-budget club. We're not huge. We're, you know, I'm running 15 guys a day. You know, so we're just trying to keep it up. I have a humongous property, 240-acre property. So we're trying to do everything we can to keep everything in shape. So the less I have to hand water, the less I have to think about some of those things, because I've got good health and I got good soil health, the more I can do.
How about your thatch situation? Has that changed?
Yeah, I've seen a definite reduction in thatch. Kind of unique with our property where we did a construction project years back and we shaved off the top, and my architect actually goes, "Wow, really good health." He goes, "Look at that. There's not a lot of thatch there in the fairway." And then he dug a little further. He goes, "How are you growing this? It's on gravel." And that's just glacier till. I mean, it's kind of a unique. So we can go from clay to gravel literally within feet of each other. So trying to keep that thatch down and trying to keep a mat layer, I still need something there. But it's been able to control not getting it over, allowing to get water in, nutrients in, and everything along those lines. So it's been a big help.
Your journey at West Bend, you started at more entry level and you've worked your way up to superintendent status. Does that help you understand all of the work that needs to be done? The fact that you started at a lower level and you've now reached the area where you're supervising many people?
Yeah, I think a lot of us in the industry all started at that lower level. We always have to start somewhere. I'm just unique. I never left. I started there, graduated with a horticultural degree, was set to move on. My predecessor made me an offer I couldn't refuse, and I've been there ever since. It really allows me to learn the property. I always say there's not a blade of grass I don't know where it is. And members even joke, they'll say, "Hey, have you seen this?" And then I'll explain to them where it is and what I've seen. And they're like, "All right, yeah, we should have known." But it really helps knowing that property, being there 25 years. I can tell you right where, if there's LDS going to show up, I can tell you exactly the spot. I can drive it to you right day. And yep, it'll be here in June. And it's part of the process that when you know what's coming, you know, understand weather conditions of that property, you can start to make predictions and you can really start to forecast out what you need to do to keep those conditions consistent. So that's a huge advantage in my eyes, being there as long as I have. And then to have a staff that, you know, mechanic and equipment, or my equipment tech and my assistant that have both been there with me the entire time. They've been there over 30 years apiece. I've got a staff that I'm very grateful for and really helps me as well with all the knowledge we have working there together. So longevity is a big, huge advantage.
I think that's really cool because you have the knowledge, you know where every acre is, every bend and turn and what you need to do in the different conditions. But you're also, as you say, a tinkerer, so you're never going to be fully satisfied and you're always going to be working. So it sounds like your job is not boring.
Yeah, not boring. I'm always messing with something. I have to. I think that's part of the fun, right? I mean, we're trying to create conditions on a daily basis with whatever Mother Nature deals us, yet we're trying to keep this as simplified for ourselves so we don't drive ourselves crazy. I'm unique. I live on property. I don't know how many guys are left in the world that still live on property as a golf course superintendent, but it's my backyard. So, you know, I'm always looking, thinking, good or bad, that I'm doing that. But it's just a unique opportunity to show my kids even what I do on a daily basis and what it takes, and just give them a little education of what it's like to run an operation of that size. But tinkering, yeah, I have to do it. I'm always trying something. That's just my nature. Makes life more interesting when you get up every day and you're going to try something a little different and just see the results. And then if you can see results in what they do, so makes it more interesting for me.
a lot of people in ag and turf are multi-generational. The fact that your kids are seeing that, do you think that they may enter in the industry that you're in?
Be interesting to see. I definitely have one son that, you know, shows interest. He loves the outdoors, very athletic, very interested. My other one is very similar, and he's even a little more orientated with his hands. I can see him kind of getting in, especially the equipment side. And you never know. It'll be interesting to see what those two do. They're, you know, as you got 7th and 8th graders, you never know what they're going to do as they grow up. But you let them be kids, and you kind of enjoy them and show them everything you can. That's what my dad did for me. I mean, I was tagged along with him at work, and now I'm kind of doing the same with my kids.
I understand you also help with children's sports, baseball, maybe others. Tell me how you fit that into your schedule and what you like about it.
I coach a traveling baseball team. I had coached my oldest son's basketball team for 6 years. I'm still coaching my daughter's basketball team. Honestly, what it does is it gets me out of the shop. Living on property, my office is 60, 70, 80 feet, whatever it is, right outside the door. It gets me off property. It gets me out to do what I love. I've coached high school baseball for 9 years in the past. Just love the ability to teach the younger generation. It's not even just the rewarding. It's watching these kids grow and learn. It's so much fun. And I've got high school kids that I coached, oh my gosh, it's over 15 years ago already, that still stay in contact with me. And I actually have one that helps me coach. And so it makes it a lot of fun to see the growth in all these kids and where they end up. And it's rewarding that way as well. It's part of giving back. For me, I just need to do it. I love getting out. I love coaching. I love being around those kids, just teaching them my knowledge of the games and watching them go succeed. I mean, that's fun, watching the smiles on their faces. And then you come home and, you know, you're always harder on your kids. I mean, there's no way around that. And I know my oldest son and I, he knows it, but he's got to drive. So I can be hard on my kids once in a while, but I think that's part of life, right? I mean, sports is a kind of a little metaphor of life. It's not easy. It's got to work for what you get. And you know what? Go bust your backside and get what you deserve. And that's kind of how I've always progressed everything that I do. So just kind of passing that down.
As a parent of kids, you have to fight against some of the smartphones and maybe a little inactivity. So any level of activity, I think the child is going to prosper from it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and we all battle it. I mean, I've got kids that love to be outdoors and running. And even at times I look at them and go, really, guys? It's really nice outside. Out the door with you. You know, so not a whole lot I have to do that. But, yeah, there's times you still got to push it. And that is a challenge I think we all face, right? I mean, even us. I mean, my phone has become as much of a computer as anything, right? I mean, it's nonstop. There's always something. And I joke with my kids every day, oh, Dad, you got such a nice phone compared to us. I'm like, you want it? I don't really want it anymore. Go throw it in a pond. You know, there's just days you want to disconnect. So I think that's something from a generation that I see, that if I can keep my kids active and outside, it keeps them stimulated outside. I was looking at a screen all the time. So for me, I love the sports. I love the outdoors, and I'm trying to keep that into my kids as well.
I agree with you, and we all fight that, you know, texting and phone calls, and there's certainly some positives business-wise, but it's certainly good to disconnect and get outside in the great outdoors. Speaking of that, what experience do the people on your course expect? You want to have it as pristine as possible, I imagine.
Expectations are always high. I think some of that is even our own self, right? I mean, the more you give, the more they expect, and I'm never satisfied. I'm always, you know, I can be told things are absolutely fantastic, and I'm still looking at all the negatives. What do I got to fix? I need to be here. I need to do this. We need to improve conditions there. So for me, it's just never being satisfied. I'm not a sit on my hands guy. I've got to be up moving. I guess that's probably why I go back, like we talked before, coaching. What am I going to do when I get done with work? I must go do something else. Just keep on running. So cherish the days while you have them, and then hopefully you teach them to grow up and do those things. But it's the same thing with the members. You teach them. You're trying to educate them what we do on a daily basis to provide these conditions, and it's nice to see how much they appreciate it. And as you go forward, I've got a fantastic membership that they're very good at letting you know what, you know, how the course is, and there's times you have flaws. I mean, Mother Nature deals you stuff. It happens. I mean, that's just part of the industry. So I think having that open communication for what they expect and vice versa, what we can really provide for what we're doing, is huge, and I'm very fortunate to be where I'm at.
Some of the superintendents I've spoken with play the course to make sure that it's of good quality. Have you done that?
Oh, yeah. Love to play. Kind of weird. Went through a shoulder injury last year, so I wasn't able to play. So really, really a weird year for me, you know, not carrying a wedge with me. I mean, I still have the putter with me, but I still like to hit shots and see how they react and hit a drive and see how it reacts as it lands. So it was really kind of a different year last year for me, not being able to do those things, but can't wait for this year to get back and put the club back in my hand, because I do love to play. And like I said, living on the golf course, I can walk out my back door and be on the tee in 100 feet and go play a few holes with the kids. And, you know, and there it is. It's a couple hours, you know, an hour, and I go play 3-4 holes, and kids get to learn the game and just try to keep carrying that game on as well. And I think that's a big part of what it is, you know, teaching the younger generation the game. And we've had a big boom. Golf has really jumped, and I hope to keep carrying that boom as we go forward. So, yep, but I love to play. That is fun.
What's the best hole or the best round you've had?
Best round I had is actually at my own place. I always joke, if you can be 2 over through 5 at our front 9, you're playing pretty well. And I was 1 under through 5. It was just cruising right along. I was almost unconscious. We won't talk about where the round ended, but yeah, I blew up a little bit at the end. But our golf course is a very unique. Our 7th hole is considered probably one of the toughest short par 4s in the world, as I've been told from guys that do ratings. So it's really kind of a cool to be able to go out there and see that stuff every day and play it, and try to play it from a viewpoint of not a superintendent. Try to play it like a guest, where you're looking at the golf course from a different view. And that's probably what I enjoy the most about the game, is playing the different facilities and my buddies' places that I have in the area, and just seeing the different ways we all do things and the results we get. So I don't really have one good story. I just kind of love the game as a whole and just enjoy playing.
Your sense of satisfaction at the end of the day when you see smiling faces out there?
Oh, it's great. I mean, there's nothing better than driving up to the clubhouse and stop and talk to the guys and, you know, listen to the, you know, you listen to how they played and this, that, and the other thing and what they deal with. And you always get the guys, oh, you know, greens were too slow. And I just kind of chuckled to myself, yep, you didn't play well. I get it. You know, that's okay. That's part of it, right? I mean, not everybody's going to have the same opinion of what's going on. And I think that's the challenge. And that's where my uniqueness of trying to interject, you know, education. And I think that at the end of the day is what this is all about, is learning and trying to grow. And the more I learn, the more I grow, the better I can get a golf course. So that's kind of where I go.
You've been there 25 years. How many more years do you think you'll be out there?
I joke with my wife, 60 and out, so I got 15 more years. But that's the joke. Who knows, you know, would I like to be able to enjoy and go golf and fish and hunt and do some of the things I do? Yeah, but I think giving it up is just as hard. It's kind of an addiction of some sort. I mean, I watched my predecessor go through it, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where you almost call it your mistress, right? It's my golf course is out there, and that means as much to me, because that's my product, right? That's what my staff and I can produce on a daily basis. So you kind of really take so much pride in that. Someday you'll have to cut the cord. Yeah, do I say 15 years? Yeah, it might be 20, but I think that all depends as you go in economy and, you know, and trying to make sure that you're taking care of your family and everything's going well. So I say 15, but it'll probably be more.
Well, Brian, I really enjoyed our talk.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
We appreciate you, Brian. That will wrap up our episode. You can go to westbendcc.com for more information on the club and course, and redoxgrows.com for our turf and ag product information. You can also email us at podcast@redoxgrows.com with any questions or comments. Thanks for listening.